You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Oakland resident Tigisti Weldiab was a child when she fled the Eritrean-Ethiopian War with her mom. They lived in refugee camps for years, and during that time, her mom made a living by selling injera, their traditional flatbread. A decade later, they were settled in the U.S. Tigisti went to school, landed a solid job in the energy industry. They did well. Then her mom got diabetes, and Tigisti knew something had to change about the way they and their community ate in this new land. People were making traditional stews and injera with American ingredients, and something was just not working. Today, Tigisti is a nutritionist and wellness influencer and health coach, working with Oakland's Eritrean community to reimagine recipes from home with new ingredients in a way that keeps everybody healthy. I visited Tigisti in her kitchen, where she told me her story while making a lentil stew called adas.
So I'm cutting onions. And we're gonna saute some onions and tomatoes and garlic. And we're gonna make a simple lentil stew that is eaten by majority of Eritreans and Sudanese, probably most East Africans. Traditionally, we probably don't use olive oil, probably like palm oil or canola, but I've switched to olive oil because it's healthier, and sometimes I use avocado oil. So the onion is still sauteing, and maybe in about a minute, we're going to put my olive oil. I don't measure, so if I had to guess, I probably would say it's like 2 tablespoons, maybe 3.
So while you're doing your garlic, yes, and checking our pot to see about the onions, talk about where you were born, where you kind of grew up, and your path in your childhood and your teenage years.
Oh boy, where do we start? So yeah, my mom is a central part of this conversation. I was born in Eritrea, obviously. But I don't have much memory of Eritrea. I was probably almost 3 when we escaped. In the middle of the night in 1982, early 1982, to Sudan. She was married off at age 14 and had her first child by 16, never educated, never sent to school. She gets married off to my dad. And the next thing you know, at age 26, she was abandoned in a strange country with 4 kids, and she cannot read or write. So I think she's had to be kind of superhuman strong. So my mother decides, I'm not going to go work in an office because I don't have an education, and I'm now going to have to go and provide like the husband is supposed to do. So she decides to do the only thing she knew how to do at that time, which is to go and sell injera. Injera is what is rice to like a lot of Asian cultures and what is tortilla to like South America or Mexico, because it operates both at a staple like a bread or rice, but also as a utensil, because you grab injera and you wrap the food with it because we eat with our hands. So she woke up one day at dawn. Because many years after that, that's what she did. Wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning, made injera and went out into the market and start selling injera. It is a staple in a real sense because you need it to scoop up the food. And it is what people eat back home when they don't have all the luxuries like bread and milk and honey and whatever, all the stuff that is hard to get. So, but injera is present and it's there to keep people alive. And it's been around for centuries.
And then people migrate.
And people migrate. And then it becomes a choice. I don't have to eat injera to survive. I have a lot of options. I also have forks and spoons. But whenever I want to feel a connection to home, a connection to my mom, a connection to my roots, whenever I'm entertained and whenever I have guests, I instantly default to Injera because it's my way of connecting.
You decided to do business. You were doing really well, but something made you stop and pause and switch your whole career.
Yeah, so this was when I was going about my life and just focusing on career advancement and stuff. Then my mother gets diagnosed with diabetes, which, you know, I think it's not a diet situation. I think that, or maybe a little bit because we like sugar. She drinks coffee, sugar. But other than that, I think stress is a big factor. And my mom has a lot of things that she suppressed from a long time. So I think it manifested itself in high blood pressure and stress. And she was so young at the time. I think she was like in her early 50s.
Did food have to change in the household, or like our foods from back home are so saucy, salty, carby?
Yeah.
You know, there's some protein in there, which is great, but there's just like all of this other stuff.
No, I don't think you can convince an African for food to change. And I'm just being honest, because food is so central to our identity. So what you do is that you teach modification, getting her to drink coffee without sugar, which is hard probably the first week, but only maybe using sugar when you have guests as opposed to every day, which she drinks coffee every day. You know, then thinking about when you make injera, what do you make it with? Completely get rid of self-rising, which is horrible. So then, you know.
Self-rising flour?
Yeah, self-rising that makes it kind of rise. That is one of the worst things you can put in your bread making / injera. Anything, you know, carby, it's horrible. So then figuring out what can you sell. Now it's like a lot of people are catching on to this, but back then it was like, what? You want me to give up what? So figuring out what do you do to make it rise, or what do you do to make it stick together if you get rid of rice, you know, because I don't want her to use white rice. Then it's like, okay, tapioca, let's use that, experimenting with that. And then also to get her to cook without butter, ghee. Sometimes, you know, the spice butter is hard to give up. So it's like one of the hardest was transitioning her to olive oil and then working through that resistance.
How did your mom do with that process?
Surprisingly good. And I think it's because for her, just having to adapt comes much easier. Everywhere she went, she's had to adjust to something, adapt, evolve. So when they told her, you're going to either change that or inject yourself on a daily basis, guess what? You're going to choose not to be injecting yourself. So yeah, so like, bye, butter.
Your workshops with the Eritrean community, what message do you think did get through, and what message do you think people are struggling with?
Yeah, I think that the message that is always well received is that when it comes to their kids, it's like even if something they consider is impossible, when you tell them that possibly what it could be doing to their kids physically, mentally, they're like, oh my God. So they just want to go home and throw something out immediately. But then not as much when it comes to theirs. It's to their own bodies or whatever, which is weird because I think part of it is just culturally we're expected to think of others first and dedicate, especially mothers. They think of their kids and their husbands, but never of themselves. So they don't think they are a priority. Or what has been less received a lot of times is that when I preach self-care and when I tell them, like, a lot of these moms are burned out and they're like, working full-time, but also working full-time at home while the husband is chilling. So when I try to convince them, like, why do you have two jobs? And, you know, it's you who has to demand, you know, equality, you know, more, you know, division of labor. And it's like, I might as well just, they look at me like they saw an alien. Like, you want me to ask for what? Like, how? So that is really sad. a lot of times for me because they just take on so much.
Okay. Now we can go back to the kitchen.
All right, let's do it.
Let's see what's up with the pot.
Yes. So it would just simmering, so it's probably done. So I just put in the garlic, and I'm going to put the spices. Some garlic salt, a little bit of salt, a little bit of cumin. It's one of my favorite spices. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring a little bit of ginger that my mom dried and grinded for me. So let it simmer for 5 more minutes, and it's done. Most people, what they do is you either have like a side of greens, like usually lettuce with tomato, a little bit of onion and salt, real quick as a side dish, and you're good to go. Lovely. And shy.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
We've got some pictures of Tagisti with her lentil stew at klw.org.